There was a out in the, I think it's Kentucky country. There's this all boys school, and they are teaching teachers there, right? And one of their projects was to come up with a way to teach students emotions, and it was an all boys school. I don't think it was a military academy. I forgot to look into that. But this is what they came up with. How are you feeling today? Happy, sad, angry, worried, shy, excited, surprised, silly, or embarrassed? At the same time that this study was going on in this rural school in Kentucky, there was one in Upper New York that was an all ladies. And they came up with this. Oh no, it gets more. That was just for Tuesday, chart 2 of 5, all right? So, yeah, we can, come on in. You're right on time. So you can see there, that's supposed to be a little bit humorous there, but in all reality, I'll stick to this. but if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be continuing taking a look at the story of the birth of Christ. And when we walk out of here today, I want to put some handles on this, and I want to deal with the fact that each and every one of us has to decide whether or not we will be believers. And this is especially talking with Nathan as he's been teaching Sunday school and witnessing and reaching the lost. This might be a point that we sometimes lose touch with, that whether or not we're going to be people of faith can be a difficult choice. And not just whether or not we're going to be people of faith, but whether or not you and I will live according to our faith. It can be a difficult time. So anyways, if you've got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 1, that's fantastic. Stick your finger there and find Luke chapter 2. And you can put your bulletin in Luke chapter 2 and turn back to Matthew. That's where we're going to be today, is between Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. So let's start in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be talking about Joseph's story. Now, if you notice, it's not a Disney story. It's not an Aesop's fable. It's not, you know, the little engine that could. When we say Joseph's story, we're talking about a historically accurate account of events. We're not talking make-believe. We're talking about this really happened. These are events that are recorded in the Bible. We call them stories because it's you know, going through life. But they're not stories. They're historically accurate events. So here we go. Matthew chapter 1, let's start in verse 18. Now, the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, and we need to spend a little bit of time talking about this. Joseph has a very, very small part in the Bible in the life of Jesus. We don't know what happened. We don't know when Joseph stepped out of the picture, whether he was killed. We just don't know. We just get this really small picture of it. But here in verse 18, it talks about Joseph and Mary being betrothed. You're probably all aware of this, that's actually part of the wedding. When they are betrothed, the process of the marriage has begun. By the time they get to the betrothed stage, there's been representatives from this family meeting with representatives of this family, and they've gotten together and they've worked out the price of the bride. what does that mean? Well, believe it or not, the ladies of the Jewish family were considered to be valuable. They contributed to the well-being of the family. through taking care of the home, taking care of the field, taking care of the children. They represented a financial boon to the family. And so if I was coming over here to take my wife Kelly away from her folks, Terry and Phyllis, they would be losing a valuable asset. And so I would bring my bride price. What do you call that? A dowry. You guys are right. It's the dowry. When you get to the stage of being betrothed, they've talked about that. They've established what that is. And the man's family has brought that over and given it to the bride's family. They have entered into a covenant. That's a Bible word, right? That's a binding contract. They've entered into the covenant relationship. Now, there's a time, normally a year, between the betrothal and the wedding ceremony, but it's already begun. The wedding process has begun. You could have all sorts of communications and dealings with people and putting it together and break it off, but once you've become betrothed, you don't break those off, not very readily. It's because you're in a covenant relationship. So here we are in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, keep your finger here in Matthew and turn over to Luke. Because I want to talk about the process of finding out that your betrothed is pregnant. And Joseph knew darn well it wasn't him. Okay? If you take a look in Luke chapter 2, read along with me here. Because Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 26. In the sixth month of her relative Elizabeth's pregnancy, remember she had been barren and all of that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was, anybody? Mary, very good, we're all together. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And we could talk about what it must have been for Mary to be getting a visit from Gabriel. I'm certain that happened every other day, right? That's pretty shocking. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb." Ladies, is that generally where conception happens? I mean, don't babies grow in the womb? Yeah? Just checking. "You will conceive in the womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Hot diggity dog. Somebody clarify for me, what verse in there said that the child was of God? That it was going to be a special conception having nothing to do with Joseph. Nothing in there yet. We'll get there. High achiever, Pat. Let's take a look at this. Let's see. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called holy, the Son of God." It says called the Son of God. You read through this, there is nowhere in black and white where it says this is going to be without any input from Joseph. Now, we're looking back on this a couple of years after the events, right? We're reading the biblical account, right? We know that it was conceived of the Lord, right? But did Mary have full understanding of all of that? I don't know that she did. How often does God tell us everything that we would like to know right up front? Anytime? Does he ever do that? Or does God lead us by faith? Does God ask us to trust him? See, that's the whole thing about faith. You read through this whole account, and nowhere does it say that this will happen apart from Joseph. Now, we can read into it and see that it means that because we've got hindsight. But I am not convinced that she knew that in the beginning. Now, imagine Mary. You're walking home. You're envisioning your upcoming wedding. It's exciting. You're looking forward to your new life with your wonderful husband. And all of a sudden, the angel shows up and you find out not only is Elizabeth 6 months pregnant, but you're going to have this special child. And this special child is going to sit on the throne of David. Remember, what's going on in Israel right now? Is there anybody on the throne that's Jewish? Or are they the subjects of Rome? Is the great aspiration of the nation of Israel to redeem themselves and to become a nation on their own again? And here's this angel. I imagine this gal was pretty excited. A couple of possibilities. She might have told her folks. She might have told Joseph. Or she might not have said anything and then went to visit her relative Elizabeth. But how long was she with Elizabeth? About 3 months, wasn't it? Till after the birth of John. So imagine this. Go back to Matthew, chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, read what comes next. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I'm telling you, maybe she said something to him, maybe he didn't, but they did not have an understanding that this was going to happen in the way that it did. I'm pretty certain that when she went over to visit her relative Elizabeth, Joseph is building castles in the sky thinking, my son's going to be king. My son's going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. We're going to see the restoration of Israel. And here comes Mary 3 months later with a bun in the oven. Do you see that? And we know he didn't have a clue this was going to be the way it was done. Because what did he want to do? He wanted to divorce her. His dreams were shattered. This leaves him three options. Marriage, Mary's death, or divorce. So let's take a look at the choice of Joseph, the choice that he made. Number one, we have to talk about the word just. If we look here, it's either 18 or 19. What is it down here? 19, her husband Joseph being a just man. Don't skip over that. That is the same word that is used to talk about the patriarchs, the prophets, the men of faith. Joseph is labeled to be one of those individuals that was a faithful, just man. Pay no attention to what's happening in front of everybody as we're struggling with our hearing. So Joseph was labeled and called a just man. I had missed that until this study this week. I always thought Joseph was just a good guy, but it's not just a good guy. He gets the same label that at times is even applied to God. He was a just, a good man. But if he chooses to marry If he chooses to continue with this marriage to his unfaithful, what's the implication going to be? Really? I mean, if you got to remember, he's standing in the public. He doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is that his betrothed has been gone for 3 months, comes back with a bun in the oven. What's he going to do? That's not what you're supposed to do if you're a young Jewish lady. That's not what they are supposed to be doing as God-honoring Jews. For the young people among us today, it's not what you're supposed to be doing either. It's a bad idea. For a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that it puts you in a financial hole and an emotional distress and it crushes you. Don't drink and drive, don't have sex, don't do drugs, and don't hang out with people that do. I'm not joking. Don't drink and drive, don't have sex, don't do drugs, and don't hang out with people that do, because you pray with those once and it can destroy your life. I used to do this every Friday with my students. And I got the same reaction I'm getting from most of the teenage people here. That guy's weird. I know I am. But you avoid those four things and you avoid the biggest traps that you can run into. Not just today. I wonder if they had drinking and driving with chariots back then. But here's Mary. What sort of a woman was she? Well, Joseph was a just, godly man. He wouldn't pick someone that wouldn't be well suited to be with him. And yet she goes off and she comes back and she's pregnant. If he was to go through with this marriage, it would seem in the eyes of the world that he was the guilty, that he was the dad. Right? So what's option number two? It says here that he was a just man, unwilling to put her to shame. Now we think of people going around saying, shame on you, you shouldn't have done that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about taking her outside the city and killing her. It's the same word. It's talking about taking her out and publicly decrying her as being guilty of breaking the marriage vow and having her killed. And being one of those to take a rock and saying, I condemn you, die. But as an individual who's took the time to build a relationship, who took the time to find a woman that he believed would be a good mate for him, the energy and the effort, he didn't want to do that. Which sadly leaves him the final divorce. So here's Joseph, a good, godly man, whose betrothed is telling him some wild story and comes back pregnant, and he knows he hasn't done it. We on this side of the Bible, we on this side of history, we can look back at the story and we go, yeah, he knew this. You know, we know the story, right? He lived the story. And I want you to know that it was crushing to him. This wasn't some mental exercise that we get to play in Sunday school and talk about. This isn't something that happened over there. This was something that hit the heart of a godly man to the point to where he didn't know what to do. And he decided that he would divorce her. This didn't happen right away. It took time. I want you to think about your life and some of the challenges that you face, and some of the difficult decisions that you have made as you've gone down the road of life. Are they instantaneous and easy? Do you just automatically make these choices about where you're going to move, how you're going to, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do, what school you're going to attend? Or are these things that keep you up at night sometimes, that leave you restless, irritable and cranky because you're trying to figure something out and you don't know the answer? Or am I the only person that this has happened to? Tim's going, yeah, you're the only one. Our life's easy. No, this is the reality of our life. Is we struggle. So as you read the Christmas story, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary... No, these are real people dealing with real issues. Of course, we know how the story goes. Sometime after the discovery, she comes home. Joseph is visited by an angel in the night. And it says this, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, his options, marriage, death, or divorce, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So here's Joseph. He's been struggling with this. And he's come to the decision, I'll divorce her. I'm not going to marry her because I'm not the kid's father. I don't want her to die. I'll divorce her. And about the time he finally comes to that decision, God sends an angel. You made the wrong decision, buddy. This is what you need to understand. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. And here's Joseph. Now Joseph has to make a decision. What's he going to do? And the first thing he's got to do in making this decision is deal with this. He's got to deal with what's going on in his own heart and life. Because I'm certain it's been just all a struggle. Here's the woman I thought I loved. Here's the woman I was willing to pay for. Here's the woman that I thought I was going to live the rest of my life with. Here is the situation. And now I see that I think she might have betrayed. Wait, she didn't betray me. You guys know that unrest. But not only does he have to overcome those fears, he's also got to face the fact that there's going to be some serious social repercussions. Because everybody's going to think that this man who puts himself up as a just man, this man who lives so holy, got his wife pregnant before they got married. This is the reality of what Joseph is going to have to live with. This is what he's going to have to deal. As he gets up in the next morning, this is what he's got to deal with. Can you imagine the emotional wreck that he is in? I know for guys, we're either hungry or not hungry. But it's got to be just turmoil. It's got to be just this overwhelming wreck that he has to live through. Come back next week to find the end of the story. No. You know what happens. Let's take a look at this. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Aww. It's got a good ending. I like that. Yes. I thought somebody said my name. Oh, it's tough. Thank you. So now comes the most important question that we're going to talk about today. So what? Our challenge. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Joseph had it easy. An angel came to him in the middle of the night and said, this is what you're supposed to do. Anybody think that? Be honest. Come on. You know you want to have an angel come tell you what to do. Geez, do I do this or do I do that? God, just send me a big sign, right? How many of you would like that? How many of you asked for that? The rest of you are all liars. We'll tell you with that tomorrow. Yeah, we'd love to have that. But I dare you to turn to the book of 2 Peter. If you get to Revelations, you went just a little bit too far. Put it in reverse, back up a couple of chapters, and find 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 3. Am I in chapter 1? 17. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Now, this is what, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's writing this book? Oh, come on, give him the Apostle Peter, right? The guy with foot and mouth disease, right? The guy who lopped off the high priest's servant's ear. The guy who walked on water partway. We're talking about Peter, all right? For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. He's talking about being on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? And Jesus is there and he's glorified and the voice comes from heaven. And Peter's like, oh, that's awesome. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we are with him on the holy mountain. But look at verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter says this, I was with him on the mountain and I saw it and it was awesome. But the Scriptures are more valuable. I was asleep and I got a dream and it told me to do this. Great! Is it in accord with the Bible? Because even the writers of the Bible, even the apostles who were with Jesus when he performed miracles, said that the Holy Scriptures are more authoritative and better for us. Many people think Peter's choice was easier because of the angelic visit. It's not. You still have to make that decision. Every one of us must face our personal doubts, our fears, emotions. I know for the longest time I didn't think I had emotions. I'm still not convinced. I just think I don't get enough sleep. Everyone must face, and especially in America today, ever-increasing societal pressures. That's the reality. You and I walk the same road that Joseph walked. Hopefully not with all of it. No, exactly like Joseph. Each and every one of us are faced with a choice. Will we live by faith? Will we accept what comes because of it? In the Gospel of John, it says this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When we take a look at the cross of Christ, when we realize that God sent His Son, who lived and died to pay the penalty for our sins, when we realize that God loved us so much that in the depths of our evilness, He loved us enough to make salvation available. When we see that and we recognize that, and when we by faith say, okay, God, I'm done screwing up on my own. Rescue me. That doesn't mean that life is now peachy, keen, and easy. Joseph was a just man. He was. And yet for the rest of his life, what was said about him? Either he accepted an illegitimate child as his own, or that he participated in intercourse with his wife before they got married. In either way, he wasn't doing what God was supposed to. He was less than an honorable man. That's what people said about him. But by faith, he was willing to endure. People are going to say things about you. Christian, weirdo, you believe in fables, you're gullible. You're going to have doubts within yourself. Dear God, am I doing the right thing? Have I really believed? Oh no, you're going to be filled with these emotional struggles. But it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Not only that, but in Romans it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That question is being presented to believers. That means that believers are going to be going through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. They will be considered as sheep to be sheared. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. By the way, does anybody here have a non-believing friend? Anybody here have a person that's not a member, an individual faith? Is their life perfect? No! It's not! What's the difference? In Christ, we overcome the world. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. When I look at the story of Joseph, I wish I was a just man. But I can totally identify with the struggle. Will I today walk by faith? And I hope that you are facing that struggle. And in that, I encourage you, never forget, God knows that we're going to have hard times. God knows that we're going to face difficult choices. But by faith, He leads us to victory. And if you are not on the winning side, let today be the day. Let's pray.